Okay, folks, we'll make a start. We have apologies from Councillors Andrews, Clark, Hannah, Hart, Bailey, Savage, Walker, and McMahon. Any other apologies? Trainer? Is that us, sir? Yeah, under chairperson's remarks, to note that the NHS celebrates its 70th birthday this Wednesday. So I'll be making a short video to mark this occasion. Hopefully you'll see that and share it and get it out around social media. I'd also like to congratulate two local rowing teams. The 28-kilometre Crosshaven to Cork Sea Race is the longest in Ireland and the biggest event in the rowing calendar outside the All-Ireland Finals. The current men's world champions, Dundrum, won the men's category in 2 hours and 39 minutes against stiff competition from England, Scotland and continental teams. With Strangford gaining second place in 2 hours and 40 minutes, so well represented there locally. And Killay also put in an effort of 2 hours and 49 minutes. And then Strangford also won the mixed event with our own Councillor Enright in that team. So well done to those. And it's also mark that one of our Stanza members and the uncle of Councillor Savage, Mr. Jim Savage, passed away. He was buried last week. We'll maybe send a letter of condolences. Any declarations of interest? No. I'll go over to Liam here for the action sheet.
Chairman, the action sheets really are there, sort of, as I said, a lot of things are either completed, letters gone out, and we have a number of responses back. And we have a number of other meetings organised in relation to the actions in that, Mr. Chairman. Happy to take any questions.
Councillor Sharp.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's in reference to the third or fourth item minutes of the RTS committee meeting. Is there a time frame around the immediate review that was agreed at that council? And when can we expect that review report to come back to us?
Chairman, it will be gone through the RTS committee in terms of setting out. Again, you'd appreciate that there's not information, actually data needs to be gathered around that there. So, again, I know Colin Jackson's putting that together at the moment and hoping to bring it forward.
So there's no time frame then?
Not as yet. You know, it was supposed to be done after 6 months, but now we're beginning the process now to get it initiated as soon as possible. I should appreciate if for the August meeting, I think the intention would be to have something through the August meeting of how we're going to carry it out and how we're going to consult. I think one of the questions really was to carry out consultation with the public on it and in terms of the traders. So that will need to be looked at and how we do that.
Okay, so the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of June 2018 for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Composer and seconder? Any matters arising? We'll move on to the minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 4th of June. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can we get a proposer and seconder, please? Farah and Gary. We'll move on to the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of May.
Yeah, it was just on page 4 and that there, just about financial assistance. It's just my expenditures to agree the development of an MOU between the trustees Thomas Davis, our council, and Bambridge Council.
Sorry, what's the annual meeting? Oh, come back here then. Right, sorry, we're at the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 29th of May. So, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Okay, can we propose her and second it?
Mr. Harvey.
Then, with the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 11th of June, for accuracy. Page 1. Page 2, with an additional paper that Marie's going to present on at the end of here. And we'll look at we'll deal with the recommendation at the end. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Proposer and seconder for accuracy. Councillor Stokes and Councillor Burgess. Will we take Marie first or over?
Okay, sure, thank you. Within the minutes of the ERT committee, there's a paper was presented regarding Belfast Region City Deal. Since the ERT committee has been held, there has been a further meeting of the members who represent this council on the City Deal project, and there has been also further meetings in relation to the works required. So we had asked the committee for permission to proceed at a cost of £50,000. We've since received additional costs through Belfast City Council, and we're asking that that financial allocation be amended to £90,000 for this part of the City Deal project, and that's contained within the economic enterprise regeneration budget, revenue budget.
Okay. Councillor Byrne?
A separate issue, Chair, just from the minutes of ERT, of a query on separate issues in the City Deal. Do you want to take that there for
first? If we can get a proposer and seconder just to do that City Deal bit. Proposed, Councillor McAteer, seconded, Councillor Byrne. Okay, it's
Yeah, it's on the tourism events call. I had a number of questions I wanted to raise at the ERT meeting. I'll raise them this evening. Call one that opened and we got reported back on in March 2018. And I had raised in the chair of the ERT to get a breakdown or more information on the applications. And I'm not talking about individual applications. I'm talking about the process and the criteria going through. I've noticed on call two, when it came through on the ERT minutes, that it stated those 8 applications, 6 of them were successful, and this is the tourism events call, and not the other 8 applications that were for the other end. But 6 successful, and we're stating that that was, I think it's 85.7% of successful applicants. And it struck me at that figure because that same stat wasn't used in call 1. And, you know, the reason why I state that is because if you use them figures in call 1, then 57% of the applicants in 14 applications in call 1 were successful. What strikes me is, we went through a number of workshops in the rates process before Christmas in order to set a budget for the tourism events. We set a budget at 192,000, and there was a lot of debate back and forth, and that was set. We wanted that money set aside to go to community groups when they applied for that funding, if they ticked all the boxes to have at least £10,000 funding, and it fed into the plan of the council. And I know in December the criteria was brought to us, and the only thing that was in the criteria was that it stated that financial assistance depended on the overall budget available and the number of eligible applications received. So if that was the only thing that I can see in the criteria, why people that were successful, went through each of the stages and were successful in their applications, would stop them getting the full amount of funding. In call one, of all the successful applicants, and this should have been put down in writing on the paper, 68% of the funding that they applied for was paid out. In call two, of the 6 successful applicants, 74% of the funding that they applied for was paid out. None of them applications from the first or the second call, nothing was dependent on the budget, because the budget was 182,000. if we paid out for the all the successful applications on the full amount that they had requested, it would have been a payout of 188,000. We had 192,000 set aside for this. So what criteria is used in order to cut the successful applicants' money that they're asking for to 68%? Because I had raised a number of queries about the criteria at the time, and the council criteria, and I know people the festivals have to do business cases and, you know, bed nights and the whole lot, and they've got to jump through a lot more hoops than the council applications have to jump through. I went through all the reports in ERT 6 months ago, reports on Wake the Giant, reports on all the council-run festivals, and I was shocked that some of the reports were based on telephone surveys of 24 people. Yet when the council runs a festival and they say it's going to cost X amount is put aside for that festival. I mean, it's so disheartening when you get to a point where you put aside an amount of money for community festivals in order to try and grow community festivals in the area. You have a budget of 192,000, you have successful applicants of 188,000, and we decide, and if you pull the two of them together, we decide to pay out 2/3 of those successful applications. So I want to know in the criteria, and it's not good into, you know, we can't say that because it's through the financial assistance. That's not good enough. It's simply not good enough. We're using a different criteria for council-run festivals. We get everything we need, and I want to know why 66% of successful applicants in community festivals was paid out when we had the money there, and there was nothing stopping the rest of the money being paid out. And then further, just from that, to finish on it, because 125,000 was paid out of the 188,000 asked, what is the idea for the rest of that money? Because when we went to call two, you know, some applicants coming back in, we're not going to go to a call three. So I'd like to get clarity around why 66% of successful applicants' money was paid out and not the whole 100% when we had it there. That's the reason why we put the budget aside.
Sure. It is managed through a financial assistance process, and I don't know the detail of how they do the calculations, but there is things come into play in relation to the amount of money that somebody is actually putting into the festival themselves. So I think it would be okay for me to say, like, for example, we had somebody had presented accounts that would have maybe showed that if the council gave a full amount of funding, it would have been leaving them in a profit scenario as opposed to actually being used to fund the event. So it's things like that, but I can certainly get them to provide you more detail, and they can provide all councillors with more detail about how those calculations are done. I can certainly ask that. I would also just say that at the ERT committee, we had 8 applications, 6 successful. There was one application which had been, I don't know how it had got missed, and it was presented to us and actually went through the AHC committee then a couple of weeks ago. So we actually had 9 applications with 7 successful, and I think that increased the awards then by £7,000 as well. In relation to the budget and the understanding of that, that's something we will be giving consideration to and bringing back through the ERT committee, because we wouldn't be making a third call on it, so we will have to bring it back and make some decisions just as to how we allocate that spend moving forward.
Can I just make one brief point, Chair, just back on that response from the Director? Yeah, the only criteria in the criteria that we got in December was that community groups have at least 10,000. So I would like a paper presented at the next ERT meeting and clarity on that, because it angers me that 66% of the funding was paid out from 100% successful applicants. I'm not talking about the other applications. And it's all right putting a headline figure of saying 87 or 85.7% of the people that applied. That's 6 out of 8 applicants. 14 applications came in the previous call for 117,000, and 79,000 was paid out. Now, there has to be reasons why, I think it was 68% of that was paid out. And we can't just sit here and say that, you know, that there could be certain things where it might leave them in a profit situation. There's a lot of community festivals that were really disappointed that they went through stage one, stage two, the path a whole lot. Business cases that are actually far better than some of the council festivals' business cases. And then they were told they got 60 to 70% of what they were asking for. If they're successful and the money's in the pot, and there's no other, it's not like the other financial assistance where we had to go 50-50. And we had to go out to a call date. They should have got the money that they asked for. They went through all the stages. So I'd like the paper brought back to ERT with clarity on what is the scoring matrix. We don't have to go into the details of it, but how do we score these? How do we decide that I put in an application and it's only getting 40% funding if it's successful? You know, that can't go on forward in the future because the public will lose confidence. And it's all right for, you know, a headline to come back and say there was money of 182,000 put aside and only, finishing this thing, there's money of 182,000 put aside, but we only paid out 125, so there wasn't a demand. Let me be very clear, the demand was 188,000. We had 98% demand for that money, and the council failed to give it out to successful applicants. So I look forward to a paper coming back to ERT so we can question it more.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item 8 then, for minutes, just a clarification of including all the other recommendations with the amended paper, just clarity.
Oh, I see, yes, there's some clarity. Get a proposer and seconder to agree to the...
Can I make it here and burn?
From burn?
Yeah.
Yeah, proposed.
Aye, that was the proposal.
Just focused. Okay, so we've SPNR now, again for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 8, page 9.
Oh, thank you. You just finished the page. All right. All right.
Well, that's actually healthy, wasn't it? Sorry, ahead of ourselves. Sorry about that, folks. We're ahead of ourselves. So we're on that again then. So, yeah, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Councillor Wan, and second, and Councillor Dorn. Any matters arising?
Chairperson.
Councillor Enright.
The chairperson, at the meeting, I opposed the 20 million of the £35 million redevelopment project, suggesting it was an unrealistic amount of money to rehouse council staff to deliver a second theatre and a third hotel in the Newry area. But since that time, further matters have arisen, which heightens my concerns about this particular project, because during last week, I attended the meeting of the Regeneration Group for Downpatrick, co-sponsored by the Council and the Department. Now, at that particular meeting, we were told that if we were to follow through with the Downpatrick Master Plan as originally envisaged within the Downpatrick Master Plan, it could cost anything up to £3.5 million, which of course was wholly unrealistic for Downpatrick councillors to expect such a figure to be spent. Now, readers of the Dáil Recorder over the last 15 years will record many articles saying how all we had to do was to acquire the site of the police station and the surrounding lands in order to have New Street delivered for us and to develop. Yes. The point I'm trying to make is that a highball figure of £3.5 million was considered unacceptable and unrealistic for Downpatrick to aspire to, when we're having to put through tonight a £35 million project for Newry. Now, this is important because the Downpatrick Master Plan had contained two things. First of all, it contained the redevelopment of the land in the town centre. And second of all, it contained most of all New Street, which was a connecting street between Irish Street and St. Patrick's Avenue, which was a central one-way system for the town. Now, tonight, we'll be voting through town centre redevelopment funds on a scale that could never be expected, 10 times more than what we'd be looking for in Downpatrick. And yet council staff and departmental staff are telling us that it's unrealistic for Downpatrick to expect the development we've been waiting for 20 years and promised. We've been promised New Street, we've been promised a one-way system, and now we've been told we're not going to get it.
£20 million has been already allocated in the rate system to do the new civic centre in your...
But no one seemed to suggest that that was unrealistic. Yet, the Downpatrick Master Plan, which you well know, was the plan of Down District Council, which laid out in detail how Downpatrick was to be regenerated, how it was going to address the congestion problems in Downpatrick, how it was going to address the dereliction problems in Downpatrick, has now been downscaled because it might cost as much as £3.5 million. And it's unrealistic for us in Downpatrick to think that we can have £3.5 million whilst councillors, including Downpatrick councillors, are voting through £35 million of a project, including £20 million of council money for Newry. for a situation where it's not even as bad in terms of congestion or in terms of dereliction in the town centre. So I would say to you, as in light of this new information, I think more of us should be opposing this project. And certainly the thought that we should not have New Street and we should not have the Downpatrick Master Plan being delivered to us because it might cost as much as £3.5 million whilst voting through this project is extremely bad politics from all political parties. And I would suggest it needs to be rethought.
Thank you. Councillor Sean.
Chair, just for a bit of clarity for other members who look quite confused by Councillor Enright's soundbites, given that we're not far away from an election. This is in reference to a meeting that Downpatrick Councillors had with the Department of Communities last week, where the Irish Street police station, which has been purchased by the department, and the council are working in partnership with them in developing a scheme that will regenerate Downpatrick Town Centre. The £3.5 million that Councillor Enright is referring to is not for the council to spend. That is for Transport NI, who are responsible for the infrastructure of the proposed New Street Link Road. As Councillor Enright will know, the Transport NI has since came back to report that that link road is not value for money. And we, at that meeting, as agreed, Councillor Enright, said that we would meet with Transport NI for justification how Collins's Road would actually deliver the same benefits as a new link road. So what you have just said there has no relevance whatsoever to what this item is. Yes, the delivery of £20 million in Newry is unacceptable from a Downpatrick's point of view, and I would prefer £20 million spent in Downpatrick. But your new street link has nothing that the council can deliver. Us, as part of the briefing scheme in working with the department, we can include that as part of the private investors that will come in who would need to invest in the road. Our Transport NI saying that actually they were wrong and they will now deliver it. So everything you just said there was utter nonsense. So it is not true, and you know from that meeting that what you have just said is not a true reflection. No, it's not. Where's your minutes to show that it wasn't minutes? So there's no evidence that what you just said was said. There's no evidence what I just said was said. But you know actually what the truth is that Transport NI aren't going to deliver the road. Transport NI says Collins's Corner and traffic signal lights will change and improve the difference. And actually the £3.5 million. And David Mulholland, who was the senior official in the meeting, says that no private investor would actually deliver that new link road because it would be detrimental to the site itself. Right, it is now, though.
Can I get a proposer and second for the
recommendations then, Chairman?
Can we get a proposer and second
for the minutes?
For the
minutes of SPNR. What he's saying, he objects to it, so if he wants to object for the minutes.
Sorry, no one else.
Agreement.
Are everybody in agreement?
Move on to item 9, minutes of Active Healthy Communities Committee. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10. Okay, can I get a proposer and second? Councillor Cameron's, Councillor Howell.
Just a point of accuracy on page 2, at the very bottom says Councillor Walker and Trainer. It's actually Councillor Walker and Taylor.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Make that amendment, Sharon. That's correct.
Anything else,
Ryan?
Okay, we'll move.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor. Yeah, I'm just bringing it under. It's not even a matter of writing, but I didn't want to interrupt the Chairman's remarks.
Chairman, but I just wanted to say that this weekend we had a fantastic fela, and which one of our local clubs, Kalevi, won the Division 3 Shield. Just want to send their congratulations to them, but also how fantastic it was to see sport, and how much sport was said and how many people were involved in it from across the world over the weekend. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Hazard. It was a miss of me to miss that on the under chairman's remarks, and I do apologise. Councillor Magus here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just appreciated you coming around the different venues as well, just in passing. So I just asked a question. It was the question I intended to ask earlier on.
Yes.
Page 4. It was just on the financial assistance. Just an explanation, obviously, on that committee about the memorandum of understanding involving the new Ayr Council and the Armagh City Fund Bridge ABC about the. Thomas Davis, GSE. Just an explanation of that.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is a SIF project, and ABC Council are the lead partner on the SIF project. That's why there's a memorandum of understanding with them. That's what it is, £100,000 of SIF funding.
Right, okay, thank you. I just saw that and jumped out of it.
Okay. Notice then? Yeah. We're on the next one there. So, item 10, minutes of the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee, held on the 20th of June. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. We have a proposer and seconder. Councillor Stokes and Councillor Craig.
We need to come back then for a recommendation of what we're going to do in that.
Okay, and then we need to come back when you get a recommendation for what we're going to do on item RTS 098, bus shelter at Clockray Park, Bessbrook. So it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Kimmins. It was agreed that the RTS committee note the contents of the report and recommend that the issues in which the officer required direction be considered by full council when the DEA councillors would be in attendance. So we're looking for a recommendation. Councillor McGree.
Okay. Kevin, could I ask Chair that Kevin Scullion maybe come up, because Kevin was at the public meeting, and I think that it's only fair and right that he would be here to either confirm what is said or to give clear guidance as to what actually happened within this process. Okay, thank you. Most councillors will have sat through this debate now for almost 2 years. The request for a bus shelter went in, it has gone in numerous times over the last 20 years from the people of Clockray. But it's almost 2 years since I submitted the request for a bus shelter in Clockray after being contacted by a number of elderly residents within the estate. The request went through all of the due process by this council and was given approval at the RTS and at a full council meeting. And it was only when the bus shelter started to be constructed that a resident made a complaint. From that, this council then did a U-turn, even though there were several DEA meetings where we tried to come to a compromise. Now, initially, there were a number of items in the local press saying that the reason was because of fear of antisocial behaviour and lack of privacy. The bus shelter was removed. It took 6 months to get the bus shelter actually, for the erection of the bus shelter to actually start. It was cut down in a matter of days after this council gave our officers permission to remove the bus shelter. Now, there's been lots of talk told, and people said, you know, we are not removing the bus shelter, we are moving it. Where have we moved it to? People of Clockray have no bus shelter. Now, following on, we had another meeting with Kevin. And I think, if my memory serves me right, myself, Mickey Larkin, and Kate Lockhern were at that meeting. And we said that the feeling was so strong within the community and the anger was so strong within the community about the removal of this bus shelter that they should be allowed their public meeting to make their feelings known. And therefore, they called a public meeting, and Kevin, I know your presence there at times would have been difficult, but all the while I know that they were grateful that you did come to that meeting. Now, at that meeting, again, Kevin, there was inaccuracies about your role within the procedure. When the complaints started to come in regarding the bus shelter, there was a lot of inaccuracies actually stated at that meeting. But basically, we as councillors do not have the right to pick one person's age, ability, disability, gender or anything else above any other member of our society. Our role is to present a request to council for it to go through the due process and whenever it is approved to carry out what has been approved. It is because this council was led down an unusual path that we now find ourselves right back at square one. There were quite a number of people at the meeting. They were very, very angry. I asked on several occasions what was the issue with the bus shelter and received no answer. Now, the local community are extremely angry that antisocial behaviour was used initially. Certainly the newspaper reports confirm that. And in fact, the youth of that area, whenever it came to the last full meeting where this council decided to cut down a bus shelter that's used by school children and elderly people. We had one woman there who's nearly 90 that said this bus shelter allowed her to stand for the stop and heal service within her estate and to give her her independence. And the youth were that angry at the antisocial tag that they went around and gathered 122 residents in support of keeping that bus shelter where it was. Now, we tried to come up with several ideas of moving it around so it wouldn't look directly into someone's house. We tried to broker some sort of a deal. There is information going around about what TransLink's part has been to play. My understanding of the process is that TransLink are asked only, is this a busy bus service? Does it warrant a bus shelter? Now, I actually feel that at this stage, this council has made such a mess of this bus shelter. One of the proposals was that we would give the people two bus shelters. This is an area that I represent. I have never been asked for a bus shelter down at one end of the estate and up in the Darrymore Road. Should I ever be asked for that, I will certainly bring that request to this council. But that was one of the proposals that was put. Now, the community are quite happy to look at those if they're given the nod that this council would deliver that. But they also want a proper survey done to establish where people want this bus shelter. 2 years they've spent on this. 2 years in this building, this boomeranging of a bus shelter, and it is absolutely deplorable that this has been allowed to happen.
Pete, do you want to get your light on? You ready to go? Is that everybody in? Right, Pete, go ahead then.
Yeah, the point that I was making on that I had said three times during the meeting, I can only give my account from when I entered the process. And I know it was difficult to get that point across at the meeting, but I only entered this process not the 2 years ago. I wasn't in council at that point. My first meeting was when we, myself and the City Building Councillors, and it was myself, Councillor Larkin and Councillor Laffern, they were at a meeting in Monaghan Row on the relocation of the bus centre, or looking at new sites. Kevin Scullion had presented us the papers. I keep all the papers, I have them home. And we were looking at a different site. That option was opened up to us. Now, the accusation made, and it was made at the public meeting as well, is that I opened up this to, as Councillor McGrew had stated there now, a U-turn in the process. Them papers were given to us at that first meeting. We looked at a site, I'll be very brief on this, we looked at a site beside an old man's house, and it came back at the next meeting, that that site was ruled out because after speaking to the carer. That was one of my objections as well. One objection on a proposed new site was ruled out. Yet when residents had 30 plus signatures, more than what was needed, yes, they were put on an A4 page and it might have been after the time process. Well, this person's objection was after the time process when we opened up again. So I thought there should have been more weight given to the objections that were already there. There was a statement made at the second meeting that how much weight can you put on those objections that were signatures, effectively signatures and addresses in Clockway Park, and residents of Clockway Park, not JFK Park. How much weight can you put on them? Because if somebody turns up to your door and asks you to sign a petition, then you're going to have to sign it. Well, if we're going to take that logic, then let's disregard the 122 residents in support of the bus shelter there, because you can't use the same logic to disregard objections and then roll out that logic and now they're getting support for it going around. Because if you knock the door and ask somebody to support us, they're going to say yes as well. So that has to be rubbish. I propose that the council made a decision that the bus stop to be removed from that site for very good reason. For the reasons that TransLink at the start had said they didn't recommend the site, they recommended other sites. The bus stop is removed. We're putting a bus shelter where there is no bus stop. The bus goes up the other side of the road and doesn't come back down, so it's even a health and safety issue across the road. And then, as Councillor Stokes had said, and it is just it's one of the four reasons, it doesn't hold all the weight as some people thought, but we have a seriously vulnerable person at that house, and their concerns are falling on deaf ears. A young man who is prone to noise, prone to distraction, and sits at the front room that has cerebral palsy. I think it's disgraceful that we're actually dragging back through this process whenever it becomes just a personal battle. And that's what it feels like. I feel like if I had removed myself from this process and it was somebody else speaking on it, we would actually come to some sort of agreement on the other side of the road. But this is just dragging people in Clockway through the middle for no reason other than a personal battle between councillors, and that's what I feel it is. I think it's disgraceful. I propose that, first of all, on item 3 on the paper, that the word feasible has changed.
That it was
recommended.
Request an amendment.
An amendment that we go out to consultation, because we removed the bus shelter from that site, and the idea was to go to consultation in order to relocate the bus shelter. I propose we go out to consultation, we consult within the guidelines of the council, which is in the 50 metres, and not go further than that, because that breaks council policy. Where do we start? We start a precedent with that. Where do we stop? We consult the residents of the area where the bus stop is going to be located, and we go out to consultation with the initial site, which we as a council decided to remove from off the agenda. So removing item 1, I'm going out to consultation on a new site for the bus stop or the two sites.
Councillor O'Grady, do you accept the amendment? Can you accept that amendment?
Whose light's on? I'm conscious of the tape. That's just why I was making sure my light was red. No, because it is not what the people want. The people have been very clear, and I represent those people. And I have proposed that this council does as they have requested. And just for the minutes, could I just ask Kevin to clarify, did TransLink ever tell you they didn't want that site there, or that they didn't approve of that bus shelter there?
Sure, in any correspondence or any communication I've had with TransLink, they did not say they didn't want the site there. They saw no issues with the site there. They understood the site being there. It was equidistance between the top and the bottom. It was the widest part of the footpath. And they never objected to it from my point of view. But going back to the policy, we weren't asking TransLink Chair whether they thought it was a good site or a bad site. We only asked them whether there was a need and us defined within the policy. And the information we had from them by email was that this was a well-used site and it would meet with our policy requirements when we looked at the figures they were giving us.
And that was one of the things that I was referring to when I said there was inaccurate information, because that was my understanding with the meetings that we had had from TransLink. But I certainly am proposing that we accept what the residents have asked and try to find resolution. You know, they're only asking for this to be looked at again, and I don't see what the issue is with that, and I would respect their requests on this occasion.
Chair, a brief point of clarity on that, because actually a point of information on that. Kevin, that is correct, and I stated this at the meeting, but that is before the bus stop was removed, TransLink, then discussions. The bus stop has since been removed, and there has been meetings among ourselves, there's meetings of TransLink were there. TransLink had spoke to residents in Clockway, saying they didn't agree with it. So you're saying, we're stating here that yes, there was a need for the service, that the bus stop was there halfway through this process. The bus stop is changed. So now a stop and hail service, the bus is off one side of the park. So we can't, you know, we're using information before the bus stop was removed in order to justify an argument after the bus stop's gone. I think it's really clouding the, you know, clouding the water here.
Roisin, do you have a seconder for your...
Yes, Chair, thank you. I'd like to second Roisin's proposal there. I think it's essential that we provide the service to the community when they request for service. And if the community there want a bus stop there and bus shelter, then we should provide it. It's been through due process. We should go to consultation again with the community. I'm sure by the time that consultation is finished, plus the other correspondence with the consultees, including TransLink, that the 6 months will be well wore out anyway. So I just second Roisin's proposal.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, do you have a seconder for your amendment? Councillor Stokes? Yeah, it's 5 months since the original proposal, and it's really what view we take on the, it's a consultation. So we're not actually rescinding the decision. I think, you know, from a point of trying to get this matter settled, that we should maybe just make our decision on it tonight, and rather than waiting for another month and it coming back at us again. So I think we'll go to a vote on the amendment. Can you just clarify the amendment again, Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, the amendment is to go to consultation for a new site for the bus stop, with the option of the two bus stops, one on the top and one at the bottom of the road, as work has been done on. But to remove item one on the paper, and also the word feasible on item three should read recommended.
It's only for to line with that policy. That's within the policy, so 50 meters opposed to the earliest dangers.
Yeah. Which is the reason it negates point one.
Sure, that's correct. But in terms of the removal of the word feasible, the that is the text that was sent to the council from the community association. So that is why we haven't amended that, because it's not our email. It's the information that they've received from ourselves. So it's not the council saying the word feasible. It's the community association.
Okay, so can we go for a vote on the amendment? A recorded vote?
Okay, on the amendment, that is for or against the amendment. Okay, Councillor Andrews, absent. Councillor Bailey, absent. Councillor Brown? Councillor Burgess? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Carr? Councillor Casey? Yeah. Councillor Clark, absent. Councillor Craig?
Abstaining, Chair. I abstained during the committee stage as well. We don't have any political representation in that area, so I'm abstaining.
Councillor Curran? Councillor Devlin? Absent. Councillor Doran?
Yes.
Councillor Enright? Councillor Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Councillor Hanna? Absent. Councillor Hart? Absent. Councillor Harvey?
Yes.
Councillor Harty?
Yes.
Councillor Howell?
Yes.
Councillor Highland? Councillor Killens,
yes.
Councillor Larkin,
yes.
Councillor Lockhart,
yes.
Councillor McCauley,
yes.
Councillor McAteer.
For.
Councillor McMahon. Absent. Councillor McMurray.
Abstain.
Councillor McGrew.
Against.
Councillor Murnan.
For.
Councillor Murray. Yeah. Councillor Quinn.
No.
Councillor Riley.
Abstain.
Councillor Rice. Absent. Councillor Ryan. Councillor Savage. Absent. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Councillor Taylor. Absent. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Traynor. Absent. Councillor Walker. Absent. I have got 13 for and 9 against.
13.
So the amendment's carried, Chairman.
The amendment's carried.
And then we need to put the substantive motion as amended. So, substantive motion as amended then would remove point 1, Mary Moran Down Council, consult with the residents outlined above on the options of erecting 2 bus stations located at Trackway Park Community Centre and Oak Close in line with our policy, and translate the ask to by near merchant by some resurrected members are being told that the site outlined in option one was feasible, but advising other residents of the elected members that it wasn't, and allegedly translink are on record of statement. So I can speak directly to clans and discuss the matter further, seeing clarity on point action 3. If it's standard motion. So for you need to put that to the committee, Chairman. Again, for or against, is everyone approved of the amended motion? Which we take a vote on? No, take a vote on.
Take a vote again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, show of hands, is it? Yeah. For the amended motion?
For?
Against.
Nine.
And abstentions. Okay. The rest of the recommendations. Remember, our proposal is negative for accuracy, haven't we? We've got a proposal in second of practice here, haven't
we? Yeah, I think that's it.
I just got a proposal in second of the rest of the recommendations, Chairman, since we've done them.
Yeah, can we get a proposal in second for the rest of the recommendations?
Chairman, just before we leave RTS committee, could I ask a question just on the planning committee performance report? Well, it's not so much on the planning committee performance report. We're looking at a new system of delegation, and well, we seem to be making some progress, but I'm just slightly worried that over the summer months maybe things might slacken off a bit. So there is a working group meeting, so what I was just wondering is when. But, you know, we're meeting again soon, and there's any timetable to come up with a new scheme of delegation. It seems as though we're sort of treading water at the moment with regards, say, getting rid of the backlog, and everybody I know is working extremely hard, but in my own opinion, until we have a modified delegation scheme, we're not really going to see meaningful benefits.
Okay, Marie.
Yeah, Chair, there is a meeting of the working group on Thursday morning here in the Downshire. Myself and Anthony have actually met with our legal services representatives, and we have 3 proposals regarding amendments to the scheme of delegation. We'll be putting those to you as members on Thursday, and it would be my hope then to bring a paper through the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee in August to look for an amendment to that scheme of delegation, which then would allow for that to be ratified at the September Council meeting and to be implemented then thereafter. So I have 3 proposed amendments to the scheme of delegation. We'll discuss those then on Thursday. I will send a clarification sent out to everybody tomorrow morning again then, and the copy of the agenda. Is that okay?
Sorry, second, Councillor Sharon.
Well, it's not on this item, Chair, sorry.
All right,
yeah,
second.
Yeah, just in advance of that, Marie just sent out the proposal, so we're going to have a good look at it.
Sorry?
In advance of that meeting, to just ensure that the proposals are sent out in good time.
We will be going through the amended scheme of the delegation. I probably won't have them to issue until Thursday because they're coming from legal. So we will go through
them. Maybe you should postpone it then. Maybe you'd better postpone it then, but done right.
I would suggest that we will do them right because we will be bringing the 3 proposed schemes and we will give you the detail and we'll work through them then so that everybody has a full understanding and hopefully we can have a discussion.
Meetings, I find a big fault in a lot of this. You're taking along to these the workshops, but there's no, there is work being done on, and there are, obviously the workshops are happening too premature in a lot of occasions around this. So these things you get the night before, in my opinion, that it's quite premature. The best thing to do is throw them out there, let's have a look at it, and then you can go to a workshop properly prepared. Thank you.
Councillor Stark.
Thank you, Chair, and it's just a request to Roland as Director. Would it be possible, Roland, to circulate the current priority list for bus shelters? As I'm not a member of your committee, I'm not privy to that information as freely. It's just so I understand where bus shelters in my area are at the moment.
Okay, can we move on then? Liam, you want to do a correspondence?
Yeah, Chairman, the first part of correspondence is really Garden. There was a motion to hand actually first 2 letters, one for the Department of Communities and one for the Ministry of Justice, in regard to a very self-explanatory, Chairman. The next item is regarding, again, follow-up on those motion again, where we've written to the Foreign Office regarding the use of airstrikes, and a response there from the Minister on that. I know he makes some comments regarding our proposals. Okay. Last thing then, Chairman, is then, sorry, next to is Pensers Palm again, a vote of thanks. Sorry, Councillor Ray, maybe wants to come in on that.
No,
The Pensers Palm, just a vote of thanks. And then the following, Chairman, really is a response in terms of, again, tied into those emotions regarding perinatal hospital facility. And again, in the final 2 paragraphs, that's about putting funding is now in place for implementation of the strategy and actually a network subgroup will review the current provision of bereavement services provided to parents in circumstances of pre-birth diagnosis or potentially life-limiting conditions and recommendations to the Department on improving the delivery of services.
Okay. Any questions on that? Henry.
Thanks, Chairman, for that. And Chairman, it's just in correspondence. I was asked to advise you that there's a service on Saturday at the Island Bridge Memorial in Dublin, and apparently there's people from nearly all the councils in Ireland go to it now, and you'd be very welcome if you could attend that. They are going to send in a note, but it was just to flag it up tonight, and also if any other councillors could have went, it would be nice for the council to do that. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, so we'll await the official invitation coming. Thank you. Brian.
Yes, Chair. I was wanting just to ask Liam a question. Liam, I had made a request for an agenda to be included for this meeting about the council diaries. It seems to be getting kicked down the road again. I have been asking about this now for 3 years, and there seems to be confusion between minute pad, master diary, emails, booking meetings and counselling meetings. We have a master diary. All council events should be on the master diary. And everyone who is setting up meetings for councillors should have access to see the master's area at least, so that we're not getting two and three events booked at the one time on the one day. Because there's a lot of them things councillors want to go to, but they're finishing up having to prioritise. And at other times we have absolutely nothing to go to. So I think this needs sorted out after 4 years.
Councillor Quinn, you can take that to SPNR.
And just to remind members, you know, we are not responsible for the organising of meetings by outside bodies. That's really for them. But we'll bring a paper in terms of the logging of the dairies, the council dairy, in terms of events. There is overlaps between events. That's really then it's a matter of priorities.
Councillor Burgess.
Yes, Chair. Just to go back to what Brian has said there, because him and I have been at a few meetings earlier, and all our councillors didn't know anything about it when we were phoning to see where they were. And it was only with good luck that I'd actually seen it on the minute pod. And then sometimes we just got an email to say it was on about an hour before it happened. So really, yes, if it's going to the SPNR, I'm happy enough for that. We can talk with the discussion.
Okay. Well, sorry, Chair, I wouldn't be happy with it going to the SPNR, because this is a thing that different councillors have raised at different times. And I think to get a proper feeling of what councillors are having problems between minute pods, master diary and emails, we need to discuss this at a full council meeting so that everybody has a chance to raise their concerns.
We can go to SPNR and then we'll come to the full council for ratification and we'll get discussion with them. Yeah? Okay. Right. No, not the most.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, are you saying then that Brian could go along to the FDNR meeting and discuss it there?
Are you not a member of FDNR, Brian? No.
So can he not be accepted? You know, because Brian's raised this a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes. Okay, we've a notice of motion received from Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you, Chair. The notice of motion reads that Muir Mourne and Down District Council supports paragraph 49 of the agreed joint report of December 2017, which is an approach that will ensure that there is no hardening of the border in Ireland, and wants to see the backstop option as defined in paragraph 49 included in the legally binding withdrawal agreement. In addition, this council wants the full EU rights for citizens protected as proposed in the current draft withdrawal agreement, and that we would write to both the British Secretary of State and the EU negotiators to confirm the same. It's unfortunate that here we sit at this stage of Brexit negotiations and still we are in such a cloud of uncertainty. And I know this council has done a huge amount of work in trying to keep the Brexit and the effect it will have on us as a community very much to the forefront, but we are not seeing much results for that, and we need to keep hammering this message home. The British government has choices to make, and it is quite clear that they have so far stumbled through these negotiations. In fact, as recently as today, I think it was described as a dad's army approach. They are divided among themselves and unable to present a single vision of what they want. But if there is to be a deal, it will be based on the December joint report which the British government agreed with the EU at that time. Paragraph 49 of that report states, in the absence of agreed solutions, Britain will maintain full alignment with those rules of the internal market and the customs union, which now or in the future support North-South cooperation, the all-island economy and the protection of the 1998 agreement. There has been no other agreed solutions, then this backstop is what we must now see come into play. Both sides say they want to avoid a hard border in Ireland, and this backstop solution is the only way that this will happen. It is very important for us to remark that the backstop does not resolve all of our problems in relation to the border, and that we as a party in particular is still pushing hard for alignment with the entire single market, as areas like services are not included, and this will cause real problems still for the delivery of cross-border services. However, the backstop does many of the other issues which the border will cause by, you know, which will be caused by a hard border in Brexit. There's no doubt about it, day and daily, those of us that have been in business along the border and those of us that live in border communities hear about the continued fear of local businesses, the reluctance to invest any further money in their businesses for the fear of where they will be in 2, 5, 10 years' time. We have also seen the huge multinational companies flagging up their concerns to the British government, and yet they still provide no clarity. Is that Henry?
Can you turn that notifications off?
Apart from anything else, Henry, I've always been very respectful to you, but I think that's really bad manners now. But that is basically the crux of our motion. We need to continue the pressure on the British government, and we need to continue telling the EU negotiators that the border will not be accepted and it will not be allowed to damage our communities and our business and our economic growth. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor O'Grady. Councillor O'Reilly, you put your phone on silence.
Yes, I'm sorry, I can assure Rushy that wasn't intended. Well,
do you second on the motion, Henry?
No, I'll. Do you want me to go out?
That's a wee joke. Sorry. Do you want to say something, second on Charlie? Or
no.
Yeah. Okay. Will you let Henry back in there, Declan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No, I just, well, maybe it is appropriate. Maybe just ask just Russian and Charlie, would they just accept a small amendment to it, just to include the words that without any expiry date or time bound. I think that's very important. There has been some concern from the Taoiseach and Irish government that even though Paragraph 49 is set in stone in a sense that there can't be a leakage in it, that may allow the British government to say that it only applies to 2021. So I think just for the record of this council, and particularly the importance of the motion, that should be included as well, seeing when we go down the road of a motion, that we actually just tighten it up as the proposal is able to happen with that.
Yeah. You're content with that?
Yeah, I have no
issue
with that.
Okay. And your record of that? Yeah. Okay, Henry.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, the Sinn Féin proposal here tonight, it just seems to add to the confusion, because the interpretation that the Irish government and Sinn Féin and other nationalist parties have put on the Article 49 of the December agreement, it doesn't add up to what most people in the UK side believe it meant. And certainly, you know, you can have regulatory alignment, and we already do have that in almost every aspect of life within this island, just on world guidelines and quality standards, and not just the EU. But what Rushing has proposed would essentially put a border in the Irish Sea. And that would be an absolute disaster for us in Northern Ireland. Anything that would create obstacles to trade between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK would represent a disaster for all our people, and us nationalists and unionists, and especially our farmers and small producers. 68% of our exports are to the rest of the UK, representing almost £18 billion in this financial year, while we only export £2.4 billion to the Republic, and most of that trade is within the border area. The Republic only exports 1% of its goods and services to Northern Ireland. So the border issue could actually have been sorted with the scheme that was initially proposed, and that Enda Kenny had allocated staff to help the UK develop. That meant exemption for small traders and consignments up to the value of £350,000, with capital goods and big projects being picked up at that stage. And that would have complied with most of the single market and customs union rules and regulations and would have resolved the border issue. So then why did the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and his foreign minister, Simon Coveney, depart from that common sense arrangement that was being developed? They did so because the EU seen the border issue as an opportunity to try and make things difficult for the UK and try to keep us in the single market and customs union. It is a very high-risk strategy for the Republic to have embarked on, because if they do cause the UK to leave the table in October without a deal, it would be devastating for the Republic of Ireland. 47% of the Republic's volume trade is with the United Kingdom. Volume trade is the bulky stuff like timber, cheese, dairy products, metal products, etc. The type of products that create jobs and create and maintain the rural economy. Ireland's timber industry alone pays more tax to the Irish state and employs more people than Google, Facebook and LinkedIn together. But 92% of Irish timber goes straight to GB and there are no alternative markets for it. It would be economically devastating for the Republic to force a no deal, and we should be asking the Taoiseach and Tánaiste to work with us to develop a deal that will preserve north-south trade and, even more importantly, east-west trade for the Republic. In terms of Article 49 and in relation to the Good Friday Agreement, it would not even stand a legal challenge because it would so fundamentally breach the principles of consent that are in the Good Friday Agreement. We already have a currency border, a VAT border. We've got VAT or VRT on cars. We've got different tariffs on fuel. So there is a very pronounced border there already that we have come to live with, and the business community have been able to work within it. So the Irish government and councils across Northern Ireland should stop deliberately trying to make things difficult for the United Kingdom and maybe push us to the event of a no deal, which would be absolutely and totally devastating for the Republic of Ireland, where we would generally cope. Thank you.
Councillor Byrne. Yeah, thanks, Chair. I do find it amazing that we're talking about high-risk strategies, with the way the Irish government is, you know, the backstop itself being described by Henry as a high-risk strategy. I think the whole of Brexit was a high-risk strategy, in my opinion. Henry, or Councillor Riley, I've read figures after figures after figures, both sides of the argument. I mean, you can present figures in any way you're talking about, volume trade and that. You can present figures in any way to make any argument. The reality on the ground, and when we went over to Brexit as part of the council delegation that went over to, Brussels, I spoke to Jim Nicholson and the Ann Dodds. And I can't get my head around why we can't look after the people that we represent here in Northern Ireland first. And I had asked them, first and foremost, to campaign to keep the UK in the single market and the customs union. Because I think, I didn't interrupt you, Councillor, really. If we take the ideologies out of it, you know, we have to get the best deal for the people in Northern Ireland. And the best deal, in my opinion, for the people in Northern Ireland, is to remain in the single market and the customs union. We voted in the majority to stay in that union. And I think putting in a backstop as a motion, I fully support the motion. If there isn't a deal in place, and the UK, which, let's be honest, they're not going to come up with any alternatives if, I suppose the description was the Dad's Army approach, which I completely agree with. If they don't come up with any alternatives that is accepted by the EU27, then there should be something put in place. And I think, Councillor Riley, all it is, it's not effectively saying there'll be a border in the Irish Sea. It's setting the bar for the people that we represent here in Northern Ireland to say, listen, we won't go lower than this. There's a bar set in the event of a no deal, then the people of the North will be protected and remain in the single market. I think the time part of it as well is very important, and I'm glad the amendment has been taken on that, because the only ambiguity in the document, and yes, Article 49 does state in black and white that there will be a backstop, but the ambiguity that the Tory government have used is the caveat that they put at the start of the document that nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And I think that's the issue. because they can go back to their own people and say, well, listen, we did put it down there in black and white, but we're confident that if we go into the trade end of the negotiations, we'll get a deal that means we won't have to deal with this. The problem is that the EU want the Northern Ireland Irish border sorted first before we go into the trade negotiations. So I think for them selling to their people that this caveat, nothing's agreed until everything's agreed, is the ambiguity that we need to get past. And I think it's extremely important that councils, as the only people in this part of the country that are in office, put out a strong message that from motions like this, put out a strong message that the lowest that will be accepted in a no deal is the protection of the people that we represent here in Northern Ireland. If that means a backstop for an indefinite period of time, then that's something that should be put in writing. Just another thing, on I've read it was in the last BBC article, talked about, you know, the divergence we have in VAT and a whole lot. We have zero VAT rate if we import from the north on the south. Yes, if you set your business up in the south, you need a 23% and 20% up the north. But I buy a lot of stuff from South Ireland and a 0% VAT rate across the border. You know, so you can divvy up figures, whatever, to make one argument. What I would ask is for people on all sides of the argument, look at the interests of the people here you represent. And that should be first and foremost. Set the bar that the backstop is protecting the interests of the people here, that businesses do not have the cash flow to suck up any tariffs that might come from a possible Brexit or a no deal. And also the state, finally, I'll finish on this, also the state that, you know, some small businesses, we could do it through the paperwork, and that we wouldn't have to have a hard border, is absolute nonsense. I said every quarter and do the VAT returns. And I mean, seeing small businesses, which is the backbone of the economy, you put more paperwork on them, you will actually cripple a lot more businesses. People don't want to be bogged down in paperwork. They want to just trade freely on the border where we're operating over the last 20. I mean, it gets to a point where it takes 10, 15 years for me to learn what I'm doing right now, and I want people to go and change it. And other small businesses don't want that either. So the backstop is the least that we'll accept. Fully support the motion.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I support the motion as well as the Alliance Party. I think it's somewhat telling that all political commentators that I listen to anyway seem to be pretty united on the summation of Danny Dyer when he says it's just a mad little riddle that no one understands. And he also refers to Cameron's trotters as well, but perhaps the less said about that the better. We believe the protection of the Good Friday Agreement is paramount to maintain relationships between these islands and within these islands. And the joint report recognises this, and therefore any moves to process in the legally binding text should be considered a matter of great importance. Alliance believe that the backstop is only a defensive mechanism, but it's only to be used in order to avoid a hard border. The backstop is to ensure that Northern Ireland's best interests are looked after, as to proceed without it could lead Northern Ireland to economic stagnation. We cannot withstand exclusion from the single market or customs union. And finally, the motion deals in the EU citizens is important. These people are contributing to our economy. The unsettling nature of the Brexit process will cause, indeed is causing, is in these people to leave. This will be the detriment of our society. Thank you.
Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, there's no doubt about it now that Brexit is a reality. The European Union withdrawal bill has now got royal assent. The various bills passed through Parliament just some time ago, aided by 10 DUP MPs. To get to that stage. So it means that on midnight on March the 29th 2019, it means by that stage Britain will have left the EU. Could I just say, Chair, that while I certainly don't want to see any hardening of the border, and I'm sure I agree with Councillor Mulgrew on that aspect, we see the backstop as applying in a UK-wide context because in our party we wouldn't countenance any agreement which separates Northern Ireland either economically or constitutionally separate from the rest of the United Kingdom. As Councillor Henry said, the Barnier customs proposals, which actually cuts Northern Ireland adrift from the United Kingdom and sets up customs posts at Northern Ireland ports, also sets up customs posts at ports in the south of Ireland. And they also, as Councillor already said, rely very heavily on east-west trade sectors like the agri-food industry. 40% of Irish food and drink finds a market in Great Britain, and roughly 50% of Irish beef. So people in the south need to think very seriously, and the Taoiseach needs to think very seriously about a border down the Irish Sea with regards to these proposals. So, Councillor Chair, rather, we can't go along with the motion as stated here, because we do feel that the emphasis is on creating a border down the Irish Sea.
Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chair. I have no doubt, Chair, that in the history books written in years to come, this period will be defined and recognised as the Unionists having made the biggest miscalculation in the history of the so-called state of Northern Ireland. And it's ironic that it's our support for the hardest of hard right wing Tory policies that has actually put the demise of the state of Northern Ireland on the express train. Because there's absolutely no doubt about it, there's only one way this is going. And it humours me when I hear statistics and facts being presented by unionist commentators, unionist councillors, politicians, that no one else agrees with. No one else throughout Europe agrees with. And they seem to have this thing that this is a bilateral disagreement between the United Kingdom and Dublin, when it's not. It's between the United Kingdom and 27 other countries. So there's only one way this is going. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I think the day of reckoning is coming where the UK government is going to have to make a choice, which is to keep the right-wing Tories in the Shires happy, satisfied with the direction of travel, or to allow the representatives of unionism within Northern Ireland to pull the whole thing down around them. If that's any objective observer would realise that that's the only two choices there's going to be. And I mean, go back to the time of the Anglo-Irish Agreement, 1985. I mean, unionism was in a place then that they never thought that they'd be sold out. I mean, to paraphrase the words of Seamus Mullen used one time, if you can be bought, you can be sold. And that's exactly what's going to happen, sure. So I fully support the motion as well. Thank you.
Councillor Burgess.
Chair, I'll be very brief. There's a lot of professionals here tonight that know more than the governments know. I never heard as much puff-paffle in all my life. Business will sort themselves out, and there'll be a bigger problem for the Irish Republic after Britain walks away from Europe. And the EU will insist on the border. I'll leave them thoughts with you, Chair. We will not support the motion.
Thank you. Recorded vote, Tim? Recorded. Oh, sorry, can we bring Roisin in to sum up?
The motion reads that this council will write to the EU negotiators and the Secretary of State, stating clearly that Newry Morland Down District Council supports paragraph 49 of the agreed joint report of December 2017, which is an approach that will ensure that there is no hardening of the border in Ireland, and wants to see the backstop option as defined in paragraph 49 included in the legally binding withdrawal agreement, and that this will not be time-bound. Is that enough, Declan, that this will not be time-bound? By an expiry, that this will have no expiry date. In addition, this council wants the full EU rights of citizens protected as opposed in the current draft withdrawal agreement. Okay. In what? It's the backstop agreement that we are talking about, which will protect our trading. You bring them the next time. There's a, we'll go for one paragraph a month.
Right, we'll go to the vote, councillors, please.
Yeah.
So for the amended motion.
For the amended motion.
Andrews absent. Bailey absent. Brown. Burgess.
Yes.
Byrne.
Bourne.
Carr. Casey. Clark absent. Craig. Kern. Devlin absent. Dorn. Enright absent. Fitzpatrick. Hannah absent. Hart absent. Harvey. Harvey. Howell. Highland. Timmins. Darkin. Lockburn. McCauley. Gattier. McMahon absent. McMurray. Mulgrew. Mernon. McMurray. Quinn. Riley. Rice absent. Drew Allen. Savage absent. Sharvin. Stokes. Taylor absent. Tinley. Trainer absent. Walker absent. 22-5. No abstentions.
Okay, so the motion is passed 22-4 and 5 against and no abstentions. Okay, so we'll also have a notice of motion received from Councillor Larkin. We're going to send this motion to the RTS committee and it's possibly considered then by the joint committee once and loud. So now can you read out your motion, get a pose in a second.
Oh, thanks, Chair. I think it's unfortunate we're not going to be discussing this tonight, but it's your call and I respect your decision. Sinn Féin as an All-Ireland party have observed the increased and relentless fly-tipping in the Newry, Mourne and Down and Louth council areas. We call on our council to increase cooperation between both councils to tackle this scourge. Firmer action needs to be taken on enforcement of illegal dumping. Fines and penalties must reflect the crippling cost to council and government. A full and comprehensive review needs to be carried out and we must spread a message of zero tolerance. We request that our council write to the relevant department to raise our concerns and request prompt action. And also, if you allow, Chair, because this motion will also be brought to Louth County Council, I request that we would write to them too in relation to it.
Yeah, that's okay. Maybe a second or part? Councillor Murray. Okay. All right, thank you very much, Councillor.